Welcome to the Brothers Geek podcast. Wow, I fucked that up. All right, here we go again. Here we go again.
Well done. Do it. Oh, we got it. That's the perfect
hello. Intro, dude. We are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. That's not what I'm supposed to say. That. Jesus.
Oh my God.
Okay, we're
what are we? Patrick.
We are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are brothers, and we're geeks, and we talk about geeky stuff, and that's what we do.
I am Andrew.
You are Christopher. Don't lie to the listeners.
You're right.
He's Christopher, and
we
that's
lie
Andrew.
To them all Patrick the time because we pretend like we like each other all the time.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's so difficult.
It My is name is Patrick. I am one of the three Brothers Geek. And, yeah, thanks for listening, everyone.
Patrick, Andrew, yeah. Chris.
Thanks for
Patrick,
showing
Andrew,
up.
Chris, thanks for showing
yes.
up.
Thanks for showing up.
I would like to comment on something. Andrew's girlfriend, Adria, she commented that she was excited about the last episode, excited that we had posted one.
And shout out to Adria.
I was confused by this on Facebook, but because who wants to hear us just ramble on and make fun of each other for an hour?
She's a fan.
Well, I know, but is she a fan because
she exercises excellent judgment in my view.
Okay, well,
on some things.
I just am surprised by things. That anyone would like.
Yep.
I mean,
yep, on some things.
I
what
guess
she sees in Andrew.
True statement.
Gotta sit her down.
I got her snowed. That's for sure.
Yeah.
She told a story today. She was listening to our most recent episode today at work, and she was laughing out loud at a comment that Christopher made, and she actually got like a weird look from her neighbor.
Oh, nice.
She sits in a cute farm. She does the same
what
job.
Was the
that
comment?
Just at a different
what was
that's high praise. That's high praise.
Yeah. Do you know what the comment was specifically?
Listening to us,
yeah, I do know the comment.
Looks.
If Christopher would shut the frack up for a second, I can finish my story.
If that is high praise for this podcast.
High praise.
Yeah.
If listening to
she
us,
she was laughing
you
at Christopher's
looks,
ripping on
success.
Gotham and calling it. She just should have called it the Baby Batman Show.
Baby Batman.
She was laughing at that.
That is funny.
It is funny.
Absolutely.
I think I said that. I think Christopher agreed with my Baby Batman comment.
No, she might have been laughing at Christopher's laugh because his high-pitched laugh is so distinctive.
It is distinctive. It's true. We all have like the big belly laughs. You notice that? We get that from our father.
We do.
We just laugh. Yeah.
No.
It's not good for radio, though. No.
It's not good radio.
Well, that's good. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, and we love doing this, and we love people enjoying us loving this. So,
I certainly don't do it to talk to my frickin' brothers.
Nope.
So something kind of crazy happened. I'm going to start off with like the little point that happened, and then we're going to talk about the big picture here. The little
this
point
news?
Was happening. Yeah, thank you, Christopher, for doing that.
Yep.
This just in.
We don't have. Do you have a soundboard? Can you do the sounds?
I'm not that.
What good are you? Aren't you the audio guy?
Yeah, but that costs money. I'm
get
a student.
Fucking soundboard then.
I'm a student. Buy me a
okay.
Buy
so
me a soundboard. Money bags. Okay,
that's what we have to work with.
Okay, I was appreciating you doing that. I wasn't ripping on you. Okay,
all right, fine. Go.
The thing that happened was the Avengers 2 trailer leaked. This is the thing
whoa,
that's interesting.
Whoa,
is
whoa.
It leaked?
Before you go any further, dude, it's not called Avengers 2.
It's
specifically
Avengers
called
Age of Ultron.
It's a terrible. We are the Brothers Geek. Come on, dude.
No,
get it
but
right.
It's Avengers
Accuracy.
2. It's Avengers 2.
Accuracy in your reporting.
The
it's Avengers 8.
Avengers
it's
the, movie.
Second
you can say the second
Avengers.
Avengers movie.
That is accurate.
When you say Avengers 2, you suggest that's the title.
No,
don't do that.
It's not the title. It's the second Avengers.
No, but
the
when you say
it
like that, Avengers 2, you suggest that that's the title. It's the second Avengers movie. Let's be clear about this.
Okay.
Andrew, what's the title?
Avengers Age of Ultron.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now that we've
Avengers.
Now that we've clarified that.
Age of Ultron.
Yeah, now colon.
Thanks. So it leaked because it was supposed to
now
air.
Hold on.
It was supposed to. It was supposed to air.
Colon and yeah, no.
It was supposed to air this week with the
Christopher Focus.
With the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode. It was supposed to air with it during that episode, and it leaked this ahead of time. And Christopher texted me that it was leaked, and I found out on a website. And actually, Andrew was trying to find it and couldn't. Because Disney was like,
I saw it before they pulled it.
Right.
And then they re-released it.
Exactly.
They actually released it for official.
They released it for official because...
I saw the leaked version. It said April 2015 in the leaked version.
They couldn't stop the internets from spreading it. So they just said, okay, let's do this.
No, they did. The link that Chris... I remember this vividly because I was so frustrated. I was at the gym when Chris sent that text message, and I'm Googling it on my phone.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to find it, and I'm like, send me a good link. And Christopher sent a link to the Evernote that we share for the podcast, and the freaking link in the Evernote wouldn't load.
Disney jumped on it so fast.
The link got taken down almost immediately.
Dude, I watched it.
They tweeted out, "Damn Hydra." That was funny.
That was actually. Funny. They handled that well.
That was pretty cool.
I watched it on a website, and then when you sent back that you couldn't find it, I was going to send you the link to the website I had watched it on, but they had already removed it. I watched it twice, and then was about to send it to you. So that's like the initial thing is like, I think it's interesting that it leaked. It's interesting that like they tried to fight it and then they couldn't. So they just said, accept it. And then damn Hydra. That's funny. So that's like the whole meta thing that's going on. But I would like to talk to you guys about what you think of this trailer. What are your initial reactions? I've watched it probably five times. The things we saw, what do we predict about the story? What do we predict about the imagery that we are seeing and where these things take place and what we're going to get out of this story? Because this is a very dark trailer. Okay. This is a very dark trailer.
Okay, before we go any further, it can be found on imdb.com.
Well, now
on the actual Age of Ultron page for imdb.com, you can watch the trailer
In the show notes, we should probably post
a link in the show notes so you can go there and look at it. It's on YouTube now, so
we'll post a YouTube link or something in it, and you can go watch it.
My first reaction to the trailer was, there's Hulkbuster Iron Man armor, which is freaking awesome.
Yep.
I love that they're incorporating that. So obviously they're still having problems with the Hulk. He still cannot be controlled, so at some point the Hulk and Iron Man will tangle.
There's a couple of
Hulkbuster armor.
There's a couple of shots that like help with that idea too, where like you see Bruce Banner like sitting in the Quinjet, and like he looks disheveled, and like Thor is not looking at him, and Black Widow's looking away from him too, like maybe they just got done fighting him and he's turned back into Bruce Banner and they can't even look
like
at him
ashamed or something.
He's ashamed. Exactly. There's tons of that.
Cool. Well, and there's also a very, very interesting image of you see Black Widow and you see, you know, Hulk's giant green hand, and it looks as though they're like pressing their hands against each other. So there's this moment of tenderness between the Black Widow and the Hulk.
It's real quick.
However that happens. Quick, yeah. I mean, it's just a few seconds on the trailer, but the connotations to that image alone are far reaching in terms of what that could mean, what that moment could be in the story.
She's calming him down.
How is that even possible?
He turns back
into Banner. It's crazy.
What's that chick's name she's played by Jennifer Connelly.
Woman.
This is why I don't have a girlfriend.
Other reasons.
Jennifer Connelly, and she's
Betty Ross.
Betty Ross. She was always like the one who could calm him down. Everybody like wants to shoot the bullets and like blow up the Hulk, and then she walks up and is like, "No, no, no."
Because like, Bruce Banner is deeply in love with her.
Exactly.
So the Hulk is able to kind of like focus on Betty,
but
she has that side of him.
But like the connection between Black Widow and the Hulk has increased since
the Avengers
movie.
Image in the trailer.
Right. They're not in love, but there's a friendship love now. There's a Avenger teammate love.
That's a suggestion.
Suggestion. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. That's one.
Could be a lot of different stuff.
That's a one element. You saw the Hulkbuster armor, which is awesome. You actually get to see Hulkbuster armor fighting the Hulk, which is awesome. And what else? What else we got?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
There's one shot of Ultron, like actual Ultron. I think there's a couple.
They reveal the evolution of Ultron.
Yeah.
Like his suit, you know, coming
from
alive.
They are teeing up the Ultron being the AI,
and then
he constructs his own body.
Right.
And then that opening shot where he's like, there's the hand that is covered in the molten metal.
Yes.
He is manufacturing himself.
Well, yes.
And then the song that they sing is that he's not a puppet anymore.
Right.
And he's
freed
himself from the strings, right? All of that is indicative of Ultron becoming self-aware. And then constructing an initial body of scrap parts or whatever out of Stark tech. And then it goes from there to constructing a body, because that's that molten metal scene, right?
Adamantium or
vibranium.
When you see Ultron, the like weird messed up Ultron, pick up the Iron Man suit and crush it.
Incomplete.
He crushes the Iron Man suit. If you watch that for a second, you can see that the Iron Man suit is actually full of like robotics. So I think that was like a first draft of Iron Man suits that are not worn by Iron Man. They are robot.
Well, they've already released details of the plot. No. You're missing something. They've already released details of the plot of Tony Stark has created something called the Iron Legion,
right?
Which is an army of Iron Man drones, and Ultron is the singular intelligence that runs the Iron Legion.
Nice.
And he becomes self-aware, and there's a scene where Ultron becomes self-aware and commands the Iron Legion to attack the Avengers, but it seems as though piecing together that image of him kind of put together through scrap metal parts is he created this battle so that somehow the scrap metal could be utilized to create his first body so he can inhabit this body, whereas he will no longer like be – it's an interesting kind of thing for me to think about, because we always – we have this new idea in like sci-fi movies where there's artificial intelligence where it's like a virus that can go anywhere on the internet.
Yeah.
But it seems as though for Ultron to become fully himself, he has to become material and he has to inhabit a body. Because, I mean, it's like the ultimate power to be in cyberspace and the internet is to go anywhere, have to be inhabit any kind of system you want to control the flow of information. There's been more, you know, in the most recent years, that's been kind of the image of an artificial intelligence as being able
that's
to inhabit any system it wants.
That's the connection with the Iron Legion. The program is written in such a way that it is fully realized, or it sees as part of its purpose and is activated by the agency of the artificial Iron Man, right? So
That's yes. part of what it views itself. This is all, you know, crazy speculation.
This is total speculation. Yeah, total speculation. But it makes sense.
I mean, in my mind, it's not AI that just is resident in the computer. It is AI. The connection to the Iron Legion is the key thing that will lead the self-aware Ultron to want to construct a body.
Well, there's an element that it talks about in the trailer, like the overarching theme. From what James Spader is voicing over is you want to change things, but you don't want anything to change. Like, you want to help, but as Ultron's ultimate goal is like human beings cannot protect themselves. Kind of like the iRobot kind of a theme where it's like, you can't protect yourself. I'm going to tell you, I'm gonna protect you from yourself, and like the people who are causing problems, I'll just murder.
Yeah, I don't think that's it though. Ultron's ultimate goal is to wipe out humanity.
But like, is he wiping out humanity to protect them from themselves? Like,
not
completely eliminate humanity. Like,
he's not a protector.
But like. That's the vibe that I've gotten from the. It's like I will rule you so that you will be, like.
But that's better. Like, that was kind of Loki's bent on it. He's like,
no, I think freedom. Ultron is a villain that just wants to wipe out humans. He can create a perfect society by constructing.
So
pieces of himself in various robots, and then giving a piece of the AI to all those robots, and he doesn't need humans.
So human beings are like a flaw to the world that he needs to eradicate. That's what you're saying.
Pretty much.
It's like, okay. The vibe I got from the trailer was the other way, though.
I'm curious to see how Whedon, you know, Whedon obviously is very creative, knows all these themes. Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated to see sort of what his take on all of that is, because the Ultron in the comics is not that nuanced. He's just straightforward. I'm going to kill you all.
Right.
There's
actually supposed to be a scene from Avengers 2 that was supposed to be the trailer for Avengers.
You keep saying Avengers 2 and it really makes me mad.
Shut up. The Age of Ultron Avengers trailer that was supposed to happen with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but it's actually going to be a clip from the movie.
Yeah, they're going to show a scene.
They're going to show a scene.
Instead of the trailer, they're now going to show more of the movie, which is awesome.
Which is good.
Totally awesome.
I'm glad they're still doing something.
We'll talk about it more in scene, but I've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this whole season, and I'm digging on it. I like where the show's been this season.
Do we have any more to talk about the trailer? Like, is there more things that, or should we move
on?
We could beat it to death.
We really wanted to.
I'm curious about the imagery of like the place that's in the snow. We see like lots of tanks and we see lots of explosions in this place. Are they like overthrowing some dictator or something? It gives me a very like Latveria vibe.
I had the same kind of thing.
That leads into Civil War, if that's what this is leading to, that starts off with Secret War, which was the send in dudes to kill Victor Von Doom in Latveria secretly.
They can't pull in Victor Von Doom, though.
They can't do Victor Von Doom.
He's a Fantastic Four property, and that's owned by 20th Century Fox.
Yeah, so I'm curious about that because I want it to be Victor Von Doom. I want them to be going in there to overthrow him, and the moment of Captain America choosing not to kill him and Iron Man smoking him that's in the comics is what begins Civil War, and that's what this looks like it's leading towards. with Iron Man making bad decisions and the rest of them not agreeing with his power that he's decided he has to protect the world. So I love it. I'm really pumped. Obviously,
yeah, me too.
I will close.
My final comment with regard to the trailer is speculation on the internet related to what could be the secret reveal that hasn't been mentioned, and there are clues in the trailer that are leading lots of speculation pointed to the appearance of Black Panther.
Oh,
who
really?
Is my
really?
Growing up is my absolute favorite. He was one of my all-time favorite Marvel heroes.
Well, they're talking about doing a Black Panther movie, aren't they?
I know. That's why the broken shield, vibranium, Wakanda is the only source of it, right?
Yeah.
Andy Serkis is. People are suggesting that he is portraying a guy named Claw, who is Black Panther's nemesis.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Because he looks like Claw from the comics. I think it's Claw.
Okay.
Andy Serkis is in it for like one shot. He's got this handlebar, it's a key shot. He's got what is that chin strap beard that he's got going on? Yeah, that's what it's weird.
Yeah, so they think that the speculation that I've read is that he is playing Ulysses Claw.
Interesting.
Okay.
Who is a Black Panther nemesis?
Well,
and so that has me geeking
okay.
out the most.
Okay. So
if that speculation is right, that is badass.
Well, here's the question.
Black Panther is a great character.
Here's the question then. In this movie, you're speculating that there's going to be a Black Panther tie-in. Is there going to be a Hank Pym tie-in for this? Is there going to be a Ant-Man tie-in? Is there going to be a spin-off of... Is this going to tie into the next Captain America movie? Is this...
They're all going to be connected like that.
They're all going to
I don't know about the Hank Pym, but the breaking of Cap's shield is a big deal. He needs to remake it. How are they going to remake it? They remake it by getting more vibranium.
And then Black Panther is in the next.
And they get more vibranium
by
going to Wakanda.
Oh.
And Wakanda is just, you know, the most technologically advanced nation in the world, right? In the comic books.
Yeah.
And so they need that. They go there to get the assistance Panther to remake the shield and maybe get his help, which would be freaking awesome. I'm geeking out about just the idea.
That's awesome.
Oh, oh my god!
Could they cram all that into this movie though? Maybe.
Well, we already know they're putting the Vision in there somehow. The Vision.
Dude,
shows
the Vision.
Up.
There was no imagery of the Vision at all either. I was hoping they would show the green face Vision.
I hope they hold that back. I don't want to see any teaser.
I'm right where you're at, Chris. I want to see it, but I don't want to see it. Like, I want it.
Yeah, I don't want to see it. I just want you to tease me enough so you go crazy.
I think Vision is going to be like the end. He's going to be like the big reveal at the end. The thing that solves the problem is going to be the Vision.
Well, that could be the Pym tie-in. They could tweak the lore by saying they involve Pym helping Stark make Vision to combat Ultron,
Here's an idea. This is a theory here. What if they kill Tony Stark in this movie? The end of the movie is Tony Stark dies, and the Vision is out there, and Hank Pym is brought in by S.H.I.E.L.D. to study and figure out the Vision, to try to understand him and understand if he's a threat, you know, Vision, like Tony Stark is dead.
That doesn't track because Tony Stark is going to appear in Captain America 3.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're speculating
way off.
Yeah, you're way off the reservation, bro.
I think they want to kill Tony Stark. I think they're going to try to.
No, nah, they're gonna they'll kill Captain America before they kill Tony Stark.
No, yeah. they've already announced that next summer is they're doing the Civil War.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they're not Captain killing America off Tony 3, Stark. Dude.
Captain America 3 will tee up Avengers
They'll turn Iron Man into the villain.
Yeah, yeah. Iron Man's gonna be the villain.
It's a quote unquote villain.
He'll stand opposed.
Iron Man is the side of the government control, anti-paranoia people. So
yeah,
okay, all right. Let's. I think that's good. Let's move on to scene.
We can.
So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Andrew, you talked about that a little bit. I'm really enjoying it as well. What do you have to say about it? Like, what's
I've been enjoying it this season. I think it's a little bit darker than it was last season. They kind of lightened it up in the last couple episodes, especially the episode where Coulson and May have to go undercover.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny.
An artifact that kind of lightened up the theme, and it kind of had some nice kind of lighter, kind of jokey moments in it, and goofball situations. It played on kind of the tropes of the undercover. Coulson and May have to dance with each other to like in this party, and they have to sneak in. And she, she's this hardcore kind of action person, but she puts on a dress and she ends up being really hot. Those kind of things. So it kind of played on kind of those goofy cliches of the spy movie.
She can ham it up and she can laugh. Yeah. And that was so funny. Like seeing her in that way, like it was great.
It added a nice little.
It's a testament to like how the character has been like ironed out, that we understand that she's this tough, rough, tumble kind of a woman.
She's got kind of this tragic history where she's had to do some things she's not really proud of, and she's been an assassin, and she's kind of had to compromise maybe some of her values to get the mission done. But she had a nice kind of lighter moments in that episode, so I like that. And I especially enjoyed the most recent episode in terms of adding the character of Bobby Morse, who is the Mockingbird. She was featured very prominently in Brian Michael Bendis's run of the New Avengers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I love her character.
What is that actress's name? She's a Padalecki. She's the sister to...
And she's not a Padalecki. She's not a Padalecki. No. She's Pilecki. Her Pilecki. Name is Adrian Pilecki.
I thought
she's not related to Jared.
She's not related. No. Okay, I thought she not was. Okay.
She was on Friday Night Lights once upon a time.
She is... really, really not ugly. Like she is,
dude. She is almost absurdly attractive.
Just absurdly
true.
Tall
attractive.
And like, beautiful.
Really, really not filled. Ugly.
She's really, really not ugly at all.
Like not at all. She's just like just amazing. And the moments between her and. I always forget. Is it Fitz is the dude and Simmons is the girl? Like
Simmons. Gemma Simmons is her name.
Yes. Simmons. Yeah. The moments between those two was hilarious. It was so like funny.
Yeah, that episode had figured. Go ahead.
What?
No, go ahead, Christopher, please.
I was just going to say that episode has the fingerprints of Joss Whedon humor all over it.
Yes.
I was just about to say that. The interaction between those two, it very much had kind of like a Willow Buffy vibe. Like the dry humor of Buffy.
The dry
kind of
humor.
The zany kind of genius.
I'm watching that show. Zany genius, I'm watching that episode thinking, wow, I bet you he had a hand. It just had all of that flavor, that gentle touches – of subtle sort of clever humor.
You're so badass, and
really
I'm threatened by you, but I also love you, kind of a thing.
They do a really good job. The writing is this season. The writing has been terrific. The performances have been really good,
dude. I really love this show. Yes. I look forward to it every week.
It's good. It's really strong. It's really been strong this year.
It has been.
Well, yep. I think because last year ended so strongly, like it just made me like
they found their voice.
We were worried about them keeping the narrative momentum. They lacked narrative momentum in their first season, but the last arc and how SHIELD, rebuilding SHIELD and kind of the you know, and now, I mean, there's a whole plot thread we haven't even touched on, the fact that Skye's father is kind of getting into the mix, and he's got this mysterious background too, and he seems like he's kind of
just What's that guy's name? He was in Dune.
Kyle MacLachlan.
Like, it's funny because I'm listening to Dune, and all I can think about when I listen to Dune is Kyle MacLachlan, and he's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is hilarious. It's just like, it's really bad.
That movie's so horrible.
It's
so bad. But yeah, no, they're weaving all these interesting threads together, and I'm digging on how the season is progressing right now. And I don't know how long Adrian Pilecki will be around as Mockingbird, but I love that character from the comics.
Are you guys she gonna watch are you guys gonna watch Agent Carter, which is kind of like the connection to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that they've been teasing about?
I'll give it a shot.
I'm interested. I don't know what they're gonna do with it. It's sort of like the origins of
Origins of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's supposed to tell the story of how Agent Carter helped to found S.H.I.E.L.D.
Why not just weave that into the existing show? I don't understand why they just don't like keep it what it is.
Because she can carry it as a vehicle.
Absolutely.
And it's just a period, it's a period show. Period shows are hot.
All right.
The actress who plays Agent Carter, Haley Atwell, she is a star.
She's a star.
So she can absolutely carry his show on her own. And it'll be nice to have another TV show that'll have an interesting, strong female lead in the comic book world.
Totally.
Because so many comic book shows just have male leads and are dominated that way. It'll be nice to have a comic book show that will have a very strong female lead character. And Haley Atwell can absolutely pull that off. She was in the first Captain America movie. She adds a lot of depth, and her character is great in that movie. So I'm excited to watch the show.
She was one of the best parts of the first Captain America movie, the Captain America easily. first Avengers. Like she brought the
wry humor in that.
Right. And her acting was fantastic. Just really good. Mm-hmm. And,
Do we know when that show is supposed to premiere?
I don't know, but I think somebody could probably Google it if we were so inclined to do so.
Who knows how to work the Google machine and find that out?
I don't know how to.
I don't know how to use the Google.
What do you got to get on the interwebs?
It's a terrible joke. What else are you watching, Andrew? What else you got?
What else am I watching? I have been watching The Flash.
What do you think of that show?
And I will say this
Okay.
The character of the Flash from the comic books, I am actually not a big fan of. I think his power is kind of boring.
Yep.
I've never really been that invested in Barry Allen as a regular character.
Six Flashes, so it's hard to keep track. Like, Superman is Clark Kent. That's it. There's literally probably six people who have been called the Flash at any point. Wally West.
And I have never
Barry Allen.
Like, and then there was the Golden Age Flash that I can't remember his name. Jim Garrick. Jim Garrick. Yeah.
You have eidetic memory. You're a freak.
and then Bart Allen.
Bart Allen. Good job. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have never been that interested in The Flash, as even when Jeff Johns was writing the book, when it was kind of a flagship book for DC, I really didn't get into it at all.
I like that. That has moments of the show that are like, that has the same feel, the same vibe as the Jeff Johns Flash.
But I'm building to the point of, I am enjoying the show very much because, I mean, yeah, the Flash has, in my opinion, he's still kind of a one-note hero. He can run really fast or whatever. But the guy who plays the Flash, Grant Gustin, is great.
Oh, yeah.
And he humanizes him in such interesting ways. And the Barry Allen on the show and his whole team, his support team, Cisco, and I forget the girl's name right now. The actress is Danielle Panabaker.
She's
going to
become like a villain. She's like Captain Snow or something like that. That's what they're saying on the internet. I can't remember. Let me look that up while you're talking about it.
I am enjoying the show and kind of the universe they've created in Central City. Kind of Grant Gustin's take on the character, his kind of like goofiness and his earnestness. I'm really digging on that. It's a nice kind of counterpoint to how kind of dark and gritty and a little bit grim Arrow can be sometimes. So
Arrow is so bleak and like full of not fun, and the Flash is just full of fun. That's how
I like Arrow, and I love Arrow, it can be very grim. And Stephen Amell is great as the Arrow, and the whole cast is very rich, but it can be a little grim, and they've definitely gone the opposite way with the Flash. It's not to say that it's goofy and campy, but they definitely play up kind of a little bit of the sillier elements or the lighter elements of that character. So I'm digging on that. Christopher, do you have anything?
Yeah.
You've been watching it too, haven't you?
Yeah, no, it's more light, and I echo everything you said. The guy playing the Flash is excellent. I like his crew. The show doesn't take itself too seriously. Arrow suffers from that.
Sometimes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean all the time? It's very, very self-serious. Whereas the Flash is, this is a superhero show. So, you know, I like the fact that they've embraced that. I like it. It's lighter. It's, it's a villain of the week.
It is.
You know, I like all those things.
Okay. So the character's name of the girl that's his helper is Caitlin Snow, and she becomes Killer Frost eventually. She's like an ice person that fights the Flash. Raymond is her boyfriend who died, and he becomes
Firestorm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the moment when she's like in the last episode where we're fire and ice, she's talking about him being Firestorm. And what am I getting? I'm cutting out. Are you guys still here?
Yeah.
Yep,
okay. Sorry. I had like a moment of cutting out. That's weird.
No, yeah, we get you. You're coming in loud and clear.
Ooh. So that was interesting.
Hit your face against the microphone, though.
Boom. Just hit it.
Yeah, exactly. It sounded like you hit your face against the microphone.
No, dude. I think my stuff was a little loose. I apologize. Okay. But that was like a little nod to the people who like know the comics a little well. I was kind of familiar, but it wasn't like, oh yeah, she's that. Oh damn! Like I wasn't like,
well, this huge this light is bulb. This is the interesting thing about the Flash. The Flash has his own rogues gallery, much like Batman has a rogues gallery, and they have iconic rogues in the Batman rogues gallery: Penguin, Joker, Riddler, Catwoman. There's many others that could be listed off that everybody kind of knows. The Flash has his own rogues gallery of recurring kind of villains that he takes on, but they're all kind of goofy.
Yeah, Captain Cold. All,
none of them are.
What's that? What's that boomerang guy?
Captain Boomerang.
Captain Boomerang. Seriously?
Yeah. The Trickster.
Trickster. Terrible.
Yeah, they're all kind of goofball villains who just kind of cause trouble. They're not really very threatening. Yeah. Killer Frost tends to be a little bit threatening, but for the most part, the Flash's rogues gallery is a little bit goofball.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of play all that up, because I know in upcoming episodes, the actor Wentworth Miller, who has been in multiple shows, he actually was the star of Prison Break back in the day. He is appearing as Captain Cold. He like has a freeze gun.
Freeze gun. Oh my god.
Yeah, he's got a gun like that shoots ice and freezes things. So we'll see. All the villains tend to be a little bit goofball. So let's see how they kind of play that up, because it's an inherently kind of silly universe that the Flash inhabits a little bit.
I mean, I think, because in the way that Arrow is like very like military training and like shooting people and like everybody's got guns
brutal nature of how he became the Arrow, and it was a crucible that he went through, this is
just like silly powers fun that's happening, and that's for good or bad. Like I'm enjoying it, but like it's very different than Arrow, I think.
It's a nice counterpoint though. I dig it. So.
Yeah, I'm digging it as well, and I love that they're in the same universe. I hope there's more overlap. So
well, yeah, Felicity Smoke apparently is going to show up on tomorrow's episode of Flash.
No kidding.
Recording this Monday, October 27th, and looks like previews show that Felicity Smoke, who is, you know, the kind of the girl on Arrow right now shows up on the Flash.
She's my favorite character.
She hears that Barry Allen comes out of his comes out of his coma.
She's the only character that's really silly on Arrow, and I love her. She's so great.
Yeah. Yeah. She's great on Arrow. Yeah, I love her character. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christopher, what do you got for scene? Anything that we didn't cover?
Walking Dead. Watching that. It's great this year. This last episode, yesterday's episode was freaking great.
Insanely
no
brutal.
Spoilers.
You laugh when you say it, kind of like it's the most horrible thing ever, and all you can do.
It's amazing what they put on TV, dude. Yeah. I mean,
yes, jeez, I'm always so like you're showing
it's on cable and but on basic anyway, cable. They've really pushed the envelope in terms of what's acceptable. You know, it's a huge hit. And the only other thing that I'll mention in terms of scene is I'm binge watching Blacklist.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it's so funny that I just started watching it and they've been like hyping it. Remember the last few cons that we've gone to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blacklist was a huge deal. Like at WonderCon in Anaheim, you know, Blacklist was the prominent banner.
Okay, sell me on this show. What is it, good?
It is terrific. I can't believe that it took me
really?
This long. You know, for whatever reason, I just did not. I didn't know why I didn't. You know,
James
have an
Spader.
Interest.
It looks terrible. Yeah.
Anyway, it is fun, and Spader's character is a super criminal who has everything as an ulterior motive. He is always the smartest person in the room. He is always the person who knows the most. And so it appeals to the – this is my theory is that it appeals to the con crowd because it has that element of supervillain – who is Lex Luthor like in that he is charismatic, he has got seemingly unlimited resources, has a heart of gold directed at one character in particular.
The female FBI agent, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Agent Keen is her name. And you wonder about his motivation, but one thing is very clear, that he is motivated to protect and help her. And you don't know why. They haven't revealed why. But anyway, he is the sort of the elevation of him is that he is a he has been super criminal who's been, you know, on the FBI's 10 most wanted list forever. No one has ever been able to find him. He has been on the run for 20 years. Okay. And then in the pilot, he turns himself in to the FBI.
Whoa. I remember watching the pilot, and I think I watched the first couple episodes.
He's saying that he will only communicate with Agent Keen. And it goes from there. And every episode is somebody from what has become known now as the Blacklist. He works out a deal that says, I will help you capture or disable or kill all these super criminals that you don't even know exist. But I know they exist. And they're not even on your radar because they're so deep cover. But then he you know, all with a motive to help. He's continuing to do his criminal operation. That's the funny thing and the great thing about the show is that he continues to – he is like his title is the concierge of crime. Okay. So he facilitates lots of other criminal activity. Criminals come to him to disappear – to transport things, to pay off.
So he's got all these ties.
He is wired to everything. And so it's a really entertaining show. Spader carries the show because he is so charismatic.
Yeah.
as this villain.
Is this show why Spader got the job as Ultron?
I have no doubt. Listen, I have zero doubt in my mind.
The reality of James that Spader it was beyond a huge... anything else. His voice is so incredibly distinctive and interesting. Yeah, just yeah, his, right. yeah. His,
I agree that, with that. Yeah,
he's got
yeah.
the tone.
So how many, just, Christopher? How many?
He's got the delivery that it's perfect for Ultron.
Well, they're
in
season two, right? Like they're
yes. I am binge watching season one. Season two just premiered. There are a few episodes into season two.
How are you watching season one? Where is it?
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Oh wow. I should get caught up. Yeah, I will really watch this good. On your recommendation.
It's very entertaining. It's very entertaining.
Okay,
so that's
okay.
That's my what I will highlight for scenes.
Do you guys hear that they're gonna put the complete series of Friends on Netflix? Did you guys hear about that?
I did not hear that.
Yeah, how do you guys feel about that? Did you watch
what
Friends?
Oh God, who cares?
Yeah, right.
It's on like 10 channels of syndication.
Seriously,
right
yeah,
now.
Right. I could care less.
Okay, good. Scene that we didn't talk about. I have been kind of disappointed with Castle this season.
Haven't been watching it.
The whole like episode where there's like an invisible suit kind of jumped the shark for me.
Oh, an invisible suit?
Somebody in, like they're investigating somebody who dies. And,
oh my gosh!
And they get in and out without anybody seeing them. And there's this government organization that makes this invisible camo suit that people can't see. And it's actually on screen. And they get into a fight with the dude that has on. It's like a silly. It's silly.
That sounds epically silly.
So I haven't watched it since. Yeah. But I love Nathan Fillion, so I'm kind of
Fillion's
sad.
The man.
I kind
yeah,
of
Fillion's
feel
the man.
Bad about it. But this season is like, they're jumping the shark, man. They're trying. Ugh.
That's bothersome.
Yes. Okay. That's not really a geek show, so I'm not going to comment that. But he's Nathan Fillion, and he was on Firefly, so there's the connection. Okay, everybody?
Yep. Always a connection made.
Always a connection.
That's enough of a connection in my mind.
Korra.
I completely
agree. Korra is still amazing. I really love where they're going with this show. I'm eating it up, man. I've gotten a request from Mr. Shane Muyo, the artist of our album artwork, who's working on more album artwork currently, actually, while we're recording. He's standing over there. He wants me to watch Death Note and talk about it on the show.
Death Note?
Because it's like there's an element to geekness that is anime that I feel like we're missing.
Okay.
And I will take the bullet of anime because I've watched a decent amount of anime in my life.
Yeah.
And so I'm gonna watch Death Note because I've never watched it. So next week I will report on Death Note.
Death Note.
He's saying good over there. I don't know if you can hear him, but
I can't hear him.
Yeah, he's so that's what I have to say about that. And I watched Flash. I watched Arrow. Arrow was good. That's about it. Let's move on to Red. What you got, Andrew? What you got for Red?
What do I have? I am slowly but surely getting caught up on Batman Eternal. Yeah. I have picked up all kind of the back issues. I'm still three or four weeks behind. I'm continuing reading Hawkeye. Love that series. Still getting caught up on that. I'm reading, to be completely honest, a lot of my free time lately has been consumed with reading the Rick Riordan Heroes of Olympus, the last book in that series, The Blood of Olympus. I am enjoying that very much. It has very interesting kind of – it's a YA book. I'll admit it right now.
I have a connection to that. They just added on HBO Go Percy Jackson and Sea of Monsters, which is based on the book by the Percy Jackson series.
Yeah. Wait,
have you seen that movie? It's freaking awful.
It's really bad.
Yeah, it's really bad.
The movies are really bad. The books are 10 times better.
What's that chick's name who plays that
Alexandra Daddario?
Oh,
She's almost. She's really, really, she's really, great. Really not ugly either.
She's really not ugly.
Like she's got that absurd attractiveness.
And she's
also.
In. She's in the first season of True Detective. Also.
Oh yeah.
Okay, continue.
She's all of her.
Yes.
Wait a second. Is she the young woman that?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my.
She's in Percy Jackson.
Very, very, very not unattractive.
Yeah.
she plays Percy Jackson's like partner.
Yeah.
She plays a daughter of Athena.
Annabeth.
In the Percy Jackson series, Annabeth.
Okay.
And she tries to pull
off. I just watched this last night.
Like a 17-year-old, an 18-year-old.
It's absurd.
Yeah, she is way, way, way. And Logan Lerman looks kind of teenage-like. She looks like she's 25.
Yep. Yep.
And just because she is so, if you've seen True Detective, you know all about it. She has a shape to her that is very distinctive.
There is an element to this book, the movie, even though it was awful, like it made me want to read the books. Are they good? Like the Percy Jackson books? Like
they're fun. They're written, the original five books, the Percy Jackson and the Olympians are legitimately written for 11-year-olds.
Right.
And they read like that, and they read really, really quickly. It's very simple adventure. You know, the characters are not complex.
This is the same guy, and it draws on all these elements.
It has all this depth of Greek mythology, which I really like. I mean, I took multiple classes in college associated with Greek mythology, and I've read Greek mythology. And
I love that it pulls in
all those elements. So if you know a little bit about Greek mythology or ever read kind of the original source material, the experience of reading these Percy Jackson books becomes much the richer, in my opinion. So that's why I kind of get into it. Yeah, they're definitely
and then
children
do
even,
like Norse god stuff.
This next series will be Norse gods. Yeah,
I might be tempted to read that just because I love Norse gods and Percy Jackson.
Our family are Vikings. That's
yeah.
why.
Exactly.
I
have no idea what the plot will be.
Right.
I think it'll take place. Here's the thing. He's announced the title for the first book. It's Magnus Chase and the Gods of Asgard.
Is he gonna be like the son of Thor or something?
We have no idea, but here, let me get to my point. The character of Annabeth in the Percy Jackson series and the Heroes of Olympus series, Annabeth Chase.
Yeah.
He has already built in to his stories the element of gods having children inside, like different children with as different aspects of the same god. Here, let me explain it this way. So the series that's currently going on, Percy Jackson is the son of Poseidon. Okay, I'm syndroming now. I agree with that. Percy Jackson's the son of Poseidon. In the series that's going on right now, there are demigods who are the children of Roman aspects of God, gods.
Okay.
So there are children of Jupiter and there are children of Zeus that are siblings that are children of the same human mother, but the aspect of, you know, the sky god Jupiter has a child and Zeus as the sky god has a child with the same mother and they have different attributes to them.
If
that makes any sense. So the fact that the title of this newest book is Magnus Chase. Yeah, it makes sense. Magnus Chase makes me think that this Magnus Chase character is related to Annabeth Chase, who is a demigod daughter of Athena that's like Percy Jackson's partner throughout all these books.
Well,
so that
I
was
mean,
my monologue about that.
I know a little. I mean, besides the straight up Norse mythology, like I mean Odin and Thor and Sif and Loki and who else? I mean, there's who's the big bearded dude? You know who I'm talking about?
The god who, you know, the Watcher God Heimdall. And they have there's a creation story and end of the world story, and it's called Ragnarok.
Idris Alba is like the greatest guy ever for Heimdall, by the way.
From in the Thor movies.
Oh my god!
So I haven't read enough Norse mythology to have that depth of the only information I've ever gotten about Norse mythology came from the Thor comics. I have never read. I don't know what the source material is. Whether or not there's kind of, if you want to read Greek mythology, read Ovid's Metamorphoses. That's kind of the compilation of the Greek myths. Metamorphoses. Okay. That's how it was pronounced by my professor in college.
Metamorphoses. That is 100% wrong.
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's a book. You can find it.
Educated Christopher, what is it?
Metamorphoses.
The wrong emphasis. The wrong syllable.
Anyway, we just went off on a huge tangent because I was just mentioning I'm reading the Percy Jackson books. It's the last book in this series. The next book.
The listeners are all asleep.
They are really asleep. Yeah. I'm falling asleep.
I enjoy
the book.
I'm enjoying talking
about it. I love Greek mythology. So
what else you got?
That's pretty much what I got.
Christopher, what do you got?
I finished book one of the Powder Mage trilogy.
Oh, you finished?
Did
it end with them summoning the god?
I'm not going to give it away, dude.
Dang it.
It's freaking great.
Is it good? It's good?
Oh, my God. It is so
What is this book called?
Okay, hold on. I'm blanking on it.
Because it's like the Powder Mage trilogy, but it's the first book. What's the book called?
Is the second book out?
Promise of Blood is book one. Second book is out.
Okay. Have you bought it?
I am going to. Yes, the second book is The Crimson Campaign.
Okay.
And it is out.
I need to add this to my Audible so I can listen to this because it sounds awesome.
It ends on such a great. The two main storylines are wrapped up and not. It's the best books.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Wrap up the storyline, but then leave lots of open questions.
I love it.
Oh, holy shit! What is coming down the pipe?
Is the writing good? Do you enjoy?
Yes, it's very good.
Is it fun?
It is not.
Is it
boring? Fun. The world building is terrific. It's not brain candy.
What is the books about the Master and Commander books? You like that boring crap.
Patrick O'Brien. Yes. Oh yeah, that's great. That series is fantastic.
But that's its own flavor because that is
very detailed. That is very, dry.
Is it like that? Am I gonna be like bored out of my mind?
No. It's much more energetic and I mean there are parts of the Patrick O'Brien series. That series is awesome. You need to just into it. There are lots of great the battle scenes, the ship fighting is fantastic. The main characters are fantastic. No, this series is very different.
Sorry.
Very different.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's really good. It's really good. So I'm moving on to book two, The Crimson Campaign.
Cool.
And I'm very excited to read it.
Awesome. Cool. Yep. Okay. I continue to listen to Dune. Dune is very, very good. I've noticed since the thing that happens in the middle of the book that kind of shakes things up, the book has been very different than the movie that I've seen. There's a lot of
the David Lynch movie is a nightmare.
It deviates as I've been listening to it.
It's terrible. You got to reject that David Lynch movie from your mind.
But in the initial listen through, some of that the elements are very similar to the movie, and up until this point, things have been like very different. Because
I've read about this actually. Lynch changed a lot of that stuff because he had a different vision
for sort of what they were doing and how they were doing it. And so that bullshit about the devices that they're wearing and using their voice to sort of project this force and stuff like that is crap. It's not part of
It's not even in there.
It's not part of the book at all.
Yeah,
it is like a total fabrication by Lynch.
None of
that. It's terrible.
Yeah, there's none of that.
It's none of that.
So there's been this deviation.
You got to forget it. Forget the movie.
So I'm trying to forget it, but you know, it's like I watched it when I was a kid, and you know, I'm a movie crazy person, so I remember everything. So I'm still enjoying it, but it's like a fresh story now. It's like new information.
Yeah, good. You got to focus on what's in the book because the book is phenomenal.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. I mean, I don't think I've been reading a lot of.
I feel like a lot of our free time has been consumed with Destiny over the last few weeks. So that's
speaking
why we're kind of thin.
Let's move on for to sure, Played sure. because
yeah.
So
only one thing
do we all want to give an update on where we're at with Destiny currently in terms of our?
Go for it, Andrew. Tell us where you're at.
Yes.
Okay. I have leveled up to 22.
Yes.
I'm gradually building my light. Yesterday, I ran the heroic daily story chapter.
He's speaking another language to anybody who hasn't played this game.
This is amazing. To hear that sentence come out of Andrew's mouth is stunning.
I know. I am embracing the
stunning.
Game.
This is like the nerdiest Andrew's ever been.
It is the nerdiest.
The most gamerly I've ever been in my whole life.
I love it. I love what you're doing
about
right
this
now.
Game.
Keep talking to me about Destiny, please.
Yeah. So I played the heroic daily chapter yesterday. I attacked Draxus and took out, you know, Draxus is kind of the heavy boss for the Fallen. So I took it on alone. So when you get to Draxus' throne room,
you did it on 22.
I did it on 22.
Nice. Was it pretty rough?
And
did you struggle?
It was rough. I got smoked 7 or 8.
The daily is supposed to be hard. The daily is supposed to be a challenge, and ramp it up. So it's not even like a big deal that you died.
No, I didn't run it on 22. I ran it on 20. Now that I think about
it.
Okay. I ran it on 20. So it was
still
hard.
Tough. Yeah.
It was hard, and I got through it, and I got some really good drops off of it.
Nice.
I was able to upgrade my armor, and I got a new auto rifle. So nice. I got blue. I'm totally outfitted with blue gear now.
Cool.
Kicked my light up to level 22, and I have a new kind of heavier blue auto rifle for my primary weapon. So running that was. We've talked about before the leveling as you run through the, you know, as you go from 1 to 20, the leveling is very consistent, and you level without feeling like you've hit a deep valley in the leveling process. But once you hit 20 and it becomes about the armor drops you get, the gear drops, you definitely plateau. I was stuck at 21 for like a week and a half. I was playing every day. I stuck at
24 for 3 weeks.
Yeah. It's all about the drops
because
you get.
I didn't get anything good.
It doesn't make me happy, dude, to hear that.
I got stuck and I wasn't get the trick is you keep getting your rep up and keep getting marks and then you can buy gear and then it'll pay off. You need to be
I've been grinding doing kind of Vanguard to earn Vanguard reps so I can buy some legendary
gear.
It's not
that hard to get to 2. It sounds like a daunting task, but if you grind it out and you do.
Oh, no, I can get. You got to play the right kind of missions. You got to do the right kind of bounties.
Exactly.
So it's just picking up the right kind of bounties and running the right kind of patrols.
Do the bounties, do the patrols, get the marks that you need so that you can buy the piece that you need and you'll level up. You'll get legendaries. Yeah.
Something else I did yesterday because I was running around on the moon. I got involved in a world event where you have to defend a Warsat.
Yeah.
And I was by myself defending a Warsat. And I actually got the gold tier achievement for the world event by myself.
Nice.
It was
so
pretty
proud
intense.
Of you. You're such a gamer geek now, dude.
We're so proud of
I have
you,
embraced
Andrew.
It, man. This game is so much fun. So much fun. Anyway.
Christopher, where are you at?
I am just shy of, I'm 23, but just shy of 23. I need, one upgrade, one piece of gear to push me over the top to 24. Gotcha. You need 2,000 rep. I'm a level 1 with Vanguard, and you need 2,000 rep to get to level 2, and I'm at around 1,200 now with Vanguard. Good. You're so I'm getting closer. I will continue to focus on, because that's my sort of the window, the quickest window in my mind, because I don't want to do the Crucible constantly, is to just do the dailies, grind out the Vanguard rep, so I can buy that first piece of legendary gear from the Vanguard vendor, and then that will help me sort of get, you know, leap up. And then once you're level 2, you just have to grind up the marks to be able to buy your second piece of legendary gear. So it's, you know, I understand. I played MMOs, so I understand how all that works. So I just need to keep plugging away at that rep.
They did that to, like, sort of, like, force delay the gratification. It's like they want you to keep playing because you're working towards, and it doesn't come easy. Like, you got to really hit it hard to get to that.
The saving grace is the gameplay. The gameplay is really fun.
Yeah.
The shooting is really fun. I mean, it's repetitive, but if the gameplay and the control sucked, no one would be playing it because it's repetitive. But because the controls and the gameplay are fun, you know, and you can challenge yourself to sort of get those the bounties that deal with precision shots and stuff like that, precision kills.
Exactly.
All of that is a challenge. So it's good. It's good. I'm enjoying it a lot.
I love the different races you have to take on the different planets. I love that you take on the Fallen on the moon, and then the moon has elements of the Hive as well. And I love that they're
fighting each other. Like
the environments are great.
You can
come
on the two of them, and they're battling it out, and they're not even like paying attention.
You kill them all.
Yeah, exactly.
Just kill them all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And let the queen sort them out.
Exactly.
I have gotten, last night I got to 26, and then last night I ran the raid with my alternate character.
How'd that go?
We pretty much handled everything until Atheon, and then we were struggling because there's so many elements to that fight that are really, everybody has to do their job very well. There has to be, for it to work, there has to be this person not dying, this person not dying, and there's no room for error. Everything up until then, you can fudge a little bit, you know, you can like, okay, you can die here, or we messed up that, we missed that, but we're still okay. If you mess up on the last boss, he will smoke you. And we kept getting it wrong. We kept not doing it right. And we tried and tried for like a good couple hours to.
Does it reset on Tuesdays? Like every other.
It reset on Tuesdays. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
can you extend the lockout?
It'll reset tonight at 2 a.m.
Oh, okay.
You can reset the lockout only if you're in it while you're, so like tonight, if we log in at midnight and we're just not beating it, if we're still inside, it'll not reset until we leave.
But when you leave, it resets.
Completely resets. We have,
you either finish it tonight or it starts over.
So like this is the second character. So like I've already beaten it on my other character because our crew.
Yeah, but you want the gear, dude, right?
That's
the whole point.
Here's the thing is like on my warlock off of the, I think it was the Templar fight. I got a chest piece for my warlock. So I equipped that and now I'm like almost 27 and I just need to level up that chest piece because that's like that chest piece, the raid gear is the best gear in the game. So I will level that up and it'll get me to 28 probably having that chest piece on me.
Right.
I'm still rocking one pair of blue gloves, which I got to get rid of. But I got a shotgun, Found Verdict that is really good. off of the Raid. I got pretty hooked up from the Raid, actually. So pretty happy with it, and we'll keep doing it. And
well, when we get our characters up there, Patrick, you're gonna.
I'll take you through.
With you, yeah.
I'll take you through, and hopefully you will not suck like a couple of guys Andrew. That were playing with me last night.
Did you get randomly matched with
people? No. Okay, we have a friend of ours who's part of our clan, and I don't want to call anybody out, but he was struggling. And yeah, he kept dying.
No, I actually kind of talked about this.
He wasn't doing his job, and so that was causing us to like. I mean, there was a couple of times where it was like, okay, we're all kind of failing this. We just need to take a minute. But there was a couple of times where we needed him to do something and he wasn't doing it. So you need to be in the Raid. You really need to be on your shit. Because there's no room for you to fudge around. You gotta be good, and this is the time to.
I have a bit of a fear of being the weak.
Well, you will see if you can handle it or not. If you can get the door open,
you'll be fine.
You can handle it because like you can watch the video that I posted on YouTube of us getting the door open. It's not easy. Like just to enter the Raid. Is difficult.
So, really?
Yeah. Because you have to like tank these three. You should watch the video of me doing it. There's these three different zones and you hold the point and there's waves of enemies that are coming. And while you hold it, there's a tower being built and you got to hold it it only takes like 5 minutes. You just got to hold it for 5 minutes. That doesn't sound like very long. But there's just waves and waves and waves of dudes and hard, like, minotaurs, like, yellow minotaurs coming. Oh, no, Andrew dropped out.
No, I'm back on now.
Okay.
Sorry about that, guys.
No, no worries. There's waves of minotaurs coming, and they are, like, you can't kill them alone. Like, they will smoke you. And, so it's a challenge for sure, and if it took us a while to get to the point where we can get the door open, so yeah, I will keep playing that. You should watch me on YouTube,
Twitch.
You can watch me on Twitch, my live stream. Yeah,
I did it. I watched part of it on my phone last night. That awesome. Was awesome.
Washburn 300. Twitch.tv/Washburn300. So you should watch me on there. Cool. And then
you will stream it when we get high enough. You're going to stream us when definitely. We make our the Brothers Geek attempt.
I will definitely. I've been streaming sweet. All kinds of content, so more than just Raid stuff. But yeah, I'm down. What you got for trivia, Andrew?
What do I have for trivia? Okay. Tonight I have a comic themed trivia question for you both. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, this is official. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, what is the single, in terms of issues, total issues sold, what is the single highest selling comic book issue ever?
Death of Superman. I can hear typing. Are you Googling this, Christopher?
Nope.
No cheating.
I'm not. No, I'm not Googling it. I was actually just looking at something.
Okay, Patrick,
on
that's your guess? Death of Superman?
Yeah, what's your guess?
Single
in terms of total sales ever. The single issue with the most issues sold.
The black cover Death of Superman.
Technically, and I'm going to geek out on you right now, Patrick, because I actually looked it up in anticipation of this. It's actually Superman number 75 is where he actually dies.
Nice.
So that's the issue number. Christopher, do you have a guess?
Oh, Jesus. my heart is telling me it would be a Spider-Man related issue, but that I doubt that that's correct. Is there an era? Can you give a clue on the
era?
It
was in the early 90s.
Early 90s.
So yeah, that would put it right at the beginning of the modern age.
Patrick's probably right. I gotta say Death of Superman.
Okay. That is an extremely good guess, and I did look it up to confirm it. And Superman 75, The Death of Superman, sold over 3 million copies of that single issue.
Nice.
But the single, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, the single issue which has sold the most copies is actually, in 1991, they relaunched the X-Men title.
Oh.
And it was co-written by Jim Lee and Chris Claremont, and Jim Lee did the art.
Oh, wow.
And with all of the reissues and all the reprinting and all the variant covers and everything else, 8 million issues were sold of X-Men Volume 2, Number 1.
Wow.
Jeez.
8 million different copies.
Serious?
Of the single – of that – yes, of that single issue.
Is this the cover of where it's got like – it's got Magneto on the cover?
Yes.
It's like the fold-out one where you put them together and it's got like Wolverine on one side.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah,
that cover is like iconic, dude. I've seen that a million times. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Jim Lee – over 8 million – copies of single issue.
I'm sure everybody who has any inkling about like comics have seen this cover before in their lives.
Yeah.
Like it's out
there. I'll post a link to the art in the show notes.
Oh, I want
to
see that. The Jim Lee is amazing too. That was like his height of his awesome too.
Yeah, he got into drawing the X-Men series with Chris Claremont in the late 80s.
Yeah.
And then he built with such prestige. It was the number one selling book every single week.
Jeez.
Or every single month when Jim Lee and Chris Claremont were on that in the late 80s and early 90s.
Chris Claremont actually relaunched
the book.
Yeah. All the X-Men movies that we've seen have been based on Chris Claremont stories. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's how good he is. That's like
his stories are it's crazy. But that when I looked that up, it's just crazy to me because I thought it was Death of Superman myself. Superman number 75. I thought that would be the single highest selling issue ever, and it was in fact in terms of reprints and everything else and variant copies, it was that issue of X-Men number 1. Over 8 million copies have been sold.
Oh
wow,
it's crazy. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm looking at that picture right now.
Jeez. Yeah, we'll post the link to the picture on the show notes, but they're looking at it right now.
That is so
it's quite iconic. Cool.
I think very I might cool. have had a issue of this when I in the 90s. Like I think I might have bought like one of those.
I think makes I had
over
it.
8 million of them out there.
I think I had the one with like Colossus and Gambit and Psylocke and Rogue in it. You see that one?
Mm-hmm.
That's like an issue. You see how it's like blocked off into four issues? You can like see that.
If any of the listeners are out there are fans of the X-Men comic or animated series from the mid 90s, you'll recognize because this is the look that they adapted for all of the heroes animated series. It looks like Jim Lee's uniform and how he designed the characters. They based that series on Jim Lee's interpretation of those characters.
Totally. Yeah. I think that's probably why I got it because of the X-Men TV show, the cartoon. That's awesome. Christopher, what's your supplemental trivia question?
I'll save my supplemental for next week.
Okay. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you can email him at kinginthenorth52@gmail.com. If you'd like to email the show about anything at all, questions or comments, you can email us at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. You should follow us on Twitter at brothers_geek@twitter.com. You should come to our website, brothersgeek.com, and watch videos of me killing aliens on Destiny or read about things that Chris wrote or all that jazz. Anything else? Yeah, that's it.
That's pretty dang good.
Pretty dang good.
Han shot first. Han shot first.
I can't find the thing to pause it, so we're gonna keep recording.